with you today. I want us to go to the Lord, and we'll do this as our prayer for our message today. We want to pray for the Bartow family and continue to pray for the Beeland family as well, Roland and his wife Helena. Dan Bartow is not doing well. Dan has he's basically now in bed. He eats very little, and good spirits, still leaning on God and trusting in the Lord, and looking forward to being with Jesus. And so we want to pray for that family today. So join me as we go to God together, would you please? Our Heavenly Father, you are indeed our living hope. You and your Son, Jesus Christ, are our hope of eternal salvation. And we thank you that you have purchased it for whosoever will surrender their lives to you. We thank you today, Father, for the Bartos. We thank you, Lord, for their love for Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the comfort and peace you bring to their home. We continue to pray for healing for Dan, because we believe nothing is impossible for you. We thank you, Father, that the eternity that awaits us all Lord, we thank you for it, and we thank you for the day when each of us will cross that threshold and enter into your presence forever. We pray, God, for Dan today, Lord. Just lift him up to you today, God. Be his strength, be his health, be his comfort, be his peace. We pray especially for Donna today, God, that you would ease her heart, that you would comfort her mind and give her peace. Lord, as they continue to lean on you, God, you said you would give us joy in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that is their strength today. We pray for Roland and Helena today, Lord. We continue to pray for healing for each of them. As Roland goes for his test this coming week, Father, we pray that he gets a good report. Yes. We ask you, Lord, for peace and comfort for these two precious people as well. Your spirit, we continue to abide with them and upon them and in them, that their lives would continue to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with these precious people. Lord, even as we thank you for your presence with all of us here today. And I believe, Father, you're going to speak to us, and God, you're going to correct us today. I believe you're going to bring a word of chastening to every one of us today, Father, that will help open our eyes to see the necessity of drawing closer to you and being more faithful to you as your sons and daughters. We bless you for this time, Father. We thank you for your word. We believe there's life in the word. We trust, Father, that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding, give us revelation of truth from the scriptures today. You said if we will continue in the word, we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. I pray, Father, that we would not rebel against the word, but we would receive what the word wants to do and needs to do in our hearts and lives today to make us better people, better witnesses, better examples to this world of your goodness, your love, your grace. Work it in us today, Father, by your word. We receive it. We thank you for it in advance, what you're going to do to us today, Father. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians and the 6th chapter. My Bible almost falls open to the book of Ephesians these days. We spent so many Wednesday nights and Wednesdays, all day Wednesday for me, and Wednesday nights and in the book of Ephesians. And so Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to start today in verses 1, 2, and 3. The Apostle Paul writes to the brothers and sisters in the city of Ephesus so long ago, and he writes these words as he's been giving instruction, as we saw in our study. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 of the book of Ephesians are the instructions of God for living the Christian life by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's only him that can cause these things to be real in our lives. And so he gives instructions to families in this passage of Scripture. And in the 6th chapter, in the 1st verse, he directs his words to children. And he says, "Children, Oh, but we shouldn't have let the children go down yet, should we? We should have made them stay for just a few more. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise, verse 3. So that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So, we're here on Mother's Day. We're here to honor mothers, but of course we are ultimately here this morning to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we're doing when we come together just like this. And I want to talk to you today, just for a little bit, I want to talk to you this morning about cultivating a nature, a lifestyle of honor. Of honor. Scripture says, honor your mother and father. I'm going to show you some other passages in a little while that talk about others that we are to honor. By the way, this passage, verse 2 there, honor your father and mother. This passage is repeated about a half a dozen times throughout the Bible. You think God's trying to make a point? I mean, when you speak to your kids, you have to repeat it over and over and over again. And God is repeating over and over and over again, trying to get the point across. Honor your parents, honor your mother and your father. And this is supposed to be a lifestyle. I want to talk about developing a culture of honor, a lifestyle of honor. Because I fear that we have reduced things like this to a day like this. And here we are, it's Mother's Day, we're going to honor Mom. But how many of you know it's not supposed to be an event? It's supposed to be a lifestyle. We're supposed to honor our parents every day. We're supposed to honor Jesus every day. People come to church on Easter and we honor Jesus on Easter. And we go on back to our life till we honor Him again next year. And we're supposed to honor Jesus every day. It's supposed to be a lifestyle for us as children of God. And we're supposed to live a lifestyle of honor. We've lost this quality in our society today. Whether it's for parents, I heard a youth leader not too long ago tell me about the kids in his youth group and how terribly they talk about their parents and all of these kinds of things. I got a verse for that youth leader. It's Exodus 21 verse 17. Exodus 21 17 says, if you speak evil against your parents, then you should be put to death. So be careful how you talk about your parents, all right? Honor. We've lost that. We've lost that where family is concerned. We've lost that where government is concerned. We've lost that where one another is concerned. We've lost that where God is concerned. So I want to talk to you this morning about developing a culture of honor where honor is just what we look to do. All the time with everybody, we look for opportunities to bring honor to someone else's life. What does it mean to honor people? What does it mean to become a person who shows honor? To honor someone means to respect them, to appreciate them, to regard them highly, to recognize their significance. Jesus is the ultimate example. Jesus is the ultimate example of honoring in all situations, but He's the ultimate example in honoring honoring your mother. Look over at the Gospel of John in the 19th chapter with me real quickly. In John chapter 19, Jesus is being crucified. And he's hung on the cross now, and there are several phrases that He utters from the cross. And in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, I want you to see how Jesus honors His mother from the cross. Jesus is the firstborn. And in that day and in that culture, it was the responsibility of the firstborn primarily to see to the care and the needs of the parents as they got older and these kinds of things. And so Jesus, the firstborn, is being crucified. His mother happens to be right there watching what her son is going through. And notice this moves my heart to see that Jesus, after all that He had been through, as He's hanging on the cross, isn't thinking about Himself. It's amazing to me. And He looks down and He sees His mother crying. And he says in verse 26, John chapter 19, when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, and that's universally accepted to be the apostle John, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." By the way, that word woman there, it's not like we mean it in our society today. We use the word woman to speak of a mature female, whether it's a young woman or an older woman. We use that word woman to speak sort of generically of an older female, of a mature female. The word woman, as Jesus uses it here, and he uses it in other places as well, it's more akin to the word that we would use, and I'm a Southern boy, and we use the word ma'am. We're always taught, you say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. It's respect. It's a term of respect. And in Jesus' day and time and culture, the way he uses this word woman here, it's a term of respect that he's using toward his mother. Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. And what Jesus is doing as he's dying on the cross is he's being sure that his mother is going to be taken care of when he's gone. And so he looks to John and he says, behold, she's now yours to take care of. And from that moment on, she goes with John, and John cares for her. Jesus showed the same respect at the beginning of his ministry. If you remember the story of the wedding feast of Cana in Galilee, when his mother comes to Jesus at the wedding feast and says, the host has run out of refreshments. And Jesus says, woman, what does that have to do with us? And then what does he do? He goes and does exactly what mom wanted him to do. And he obeys his mother. Children, obey your parents. We need to honor our parents. Honor our parents. Some of you are like, in fact, a lot of you are here this morning are like Becky and myself. Your mom, maybe your dad too, have gone home to be with the Lord. They're not with us anymore. You know, we can still live to honor our parents even though they're not with us anymore. We can live a life of honesty and integrity and service and live a life that would make them proud. And we can do it and honor them even though they're not still with us. Question always arises when we read a passage like this and we get instructions from the Lord. Honor your mom and dad, obey your parents, all of these kinds of things, love one another. When we hear those kinds of commandments come from the Lord, question always arises, and particularly in this case, the question arises, well, the Bible says to honor your mom and dad, but suppose mom and dad are not worthy of my honor. Suppose they've not lived a life that is really worthy to be honored. What do I do with that situation? And I think it's interesting. There's something about us as human beings. We're always looking for the loophole. You know, we're looking for a way to get out of obeying what we've been told to do. And we can look at this passage of Scripture, and yeah, it's written to the church at Ephesus, and we could say, well, it's written to Christian people, and so Paul is talking about if you got good Christian parents, you know, you're to honor them and you're to obey them. But brother and sister, this verse, as I told you already, is repeated a half a dozen times in the Bible. And it starts way back over in the Old Testament. And not a single time in any of the places that it's used does it ever show up conditionally. In other words, he doesn't say, obey your parents or honor your parents as long as they are worthy of your honor. Just like he didn't say, love one another as long as the other people are worthy of your love. No, he didn't say that at all. He said love. He said honor. Honor them, whether they're worthy of it or not. Because here's the thing, brother and sister, listen. Honoring our parents does not so much have to do with the character, quality of the character of their life as it has to do with the quality and the character of our lives. Okay? What we're talking about here, guys, is an attitude of heart. What the scriptures is teaching us is an attitude of heart, to be ready to honor in every situation. Honor people of all kinds and in every kind of situation. How can you honor parents that have not been worthy of it, that have been dishonorable? Well, there's a lot of ways you can honor your parents, even if they've been dishonorable. First of all, you can still respect them because they're your parents. And you don't have to talk down to them, and you don't have to talk hatefully about them. And if they've been dishonorable toward you, you can forgive them and you can pray for them. And you can care for them in their time of need. Many of you know a Bible teacher on television by the name of Joyce Meyer. I think she's a wonderful Bible teacher. Joyce Meyer's testimony is that by the time that she was 18 years old, she had been raped at least 200 times by her alcoholic father. Joyce would come to Christ, and she would choose to respect her father just because he was her father. She chose the way of forgiveness. Her dad later in life would get saved. And at the end of his life, when he needed care, Joyce was right there to help give care to her dying father. That's honor. That's honor. Scripture teaches us that we're to honor those in positions of authority or in government. Look over with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. Way back over toward the end of your New Testament there, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read together from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Peter writes and says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." It's absolutely necessary for us to understand the culture of the day that Peter was writing in. And understand this, for we're just reading from 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter is written to encourage believers who were going through extreme persecution in their day. Okay? The persecution that they were experiencing was from the government, primarily. The Jews, certainly, but the ones that Peter are writing to are throughout the Gentile nation. It was the Roman government that was persecuting the Christians of that day. If our time is right, Peter is written somewhere around the middle of the 64-65 AD in the first century. The emperor of Rome in those days was a man by the name of Nero. And Christianity had already begun to come under great persecution in his day. Rome is set on fire. A lot of people think Nero did it himself. But Nero blamed the Christians for the fire that was that Rome was going through. And so the people begin to persecute Christians even more for trying to burn down allegedly their city. And Christians back in those days were fed to the lions. They were persecuted in every kind of way. They were crucified. Peter himself would be crucified. Just a year or two from the writing of this letter, he would be crucified upside down. Nero would burn Christians at the stake in order to light the streets of Rome at night. We're clueless, folks. We're clueless about persecution in our society when we look at the history of the church and the things that believers went through and still go through, by the way, all over the world for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The point is, he's saying we have an attitude and we have an obligation to honor everybody, regardless of their character and what they're doing. We're supposed to be a people who are ready and willing to honor everybody at all times. David is an example for us of honoring a leader who is not a godly man. Look over at 1 Samuel with me, way back over to the Old Testament this time. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Just to refresh your memory while you're finding that place in the Bible. Just to refresh your memory here, at this point in 1 Samuel, Saul is the king of Israel. God had appointed him to be the king. But Saul was not an honorable man. Saul was rebellious. Saul was proud. Saul did things his way and not God's way. And so God told him, you're going to lose the kingdom because of this. And he'd already, actually by this point, he had already anointed David to be the next king. When Saul realized that David was going to take his throne, Saul began to pursue David to take his life. And on a couple of occasions, you can read about him chucking spears at David and trying to run him through. But I want you to see how David responds to this man who is seeking to kill him. 1 Samuel chapter 24, I'll just pick up in verse 1 with me. When Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, the Jews are always fighting the Philistines. So they'd been out fighting the Philistines and Saul and the army comes back and he gets this message. It says in verse 1, he was told saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. David, the man who's going to take his throne, the man he's chasing, the one he's trying to kill. We know where he is, Saul. Now you can go get him. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men, 3,000 people to get David. Took 3,000 chosen men from all of Israel and went to seek David and his men in the front of the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave. Why is this kind of funny? But watch this. So Saul is chasing David. He's pursuing him, knows where he's going. Saul is a human being. We have needs. Verse 3, he came to the sheepfolds on the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself in that cave. Now look at this. Now David and his men were sitting in the inner recesses of that cave. Oops. Watch. Verse 4. The men of David said to him, behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I am about to give your enemy into your hand. And you shall do to him as seems good to you. Then David arose and cut off the edge of Saul's robe secretly. It came about afterward that David's conscience bothered him because he had cut off the edge of Saul's robe. So he said to his men, far be, look at that. I want you to see the attitude of his heart. I want you to see that David is intent on honoring the man who is king because God is the one who made him king and he's going to honor this man even though the man is chasing him to kill him. David's conscience bothers him. He says to his men, far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, meaning Saul, for the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed. Saul is where he is because God put him there, and it's not my place to try to take him out. It's my place to honor him as the king of Israel. And David persuaded his men with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. Now afterward, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul and said, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed his face to the ground prostrated himself and honors his king. David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of the men saying, behold, David seeks to harm you? Behold, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord has given you today into my hand in the cave. And some said to kill you. But my eye had pity on you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, meaning Saul, for he is the Lord's anointed. I'm going to just stop right there because it makes the point. This man is trying to seek his life. He's trying to kill him, but he's the king of Israel. And David is going to honor the king because God has placed him there. David chooses the path of honor. You go two chapters later and a very similar story develops. David comes upon Saul. We won't know where I'm not going to read it. David comes upon Saul and Saul and his army are all asleep. And a deep sleep has come upon Saul and his army. And David and one of his soldiers walks right into where Saul is sleeping on the ground and stands over him. And the man says, we've got him. We've got him. Take the opportunity. Strike him. And Saul says, we're not doing this. This is the Lord's anointed. And we're going to honor this man because he is the king. And he takes Saul's spear out of the ground and they leave. And then he calls out to Saul and says, once again, Saul, I've had an opportunity to take your life. But I've chosen instead, because you are the king, I have chosen to honor you because God calls me to be a person who shows honor. He chooses honor even to a man who is not worthy of our honor. We can choose to honor. We can choose to honor those who are in positions of authority that are over us, brother and sister. We don't have to choose ugliness and hatefulness. We don't have to choose to be speaking ugly all the time about people and being mean-spirited and hateful toward people. We can pray for people. We don't have to agree with them, but we can still honor them by praying for them, by praying that they have the wisdom of God to lead this nation, by praying if we're not sure they're saved, pray for their salvation. We need to choose to be a people who honor. We're talking about an attitude of heart. We're not talking about giving people what they deserve. How many of you are grateful today that God didn't give you what you deserve? In fact, I'm going to show you in a little while that God chose to honor you. Talk about showing honor to people who are dishonorable. God chose to honor us. I'll show you in a minute. We don't have to agree with the authorities that are over us, but look, God is the one who ordained authority. God is the one who established authority. And we need to respect the system of authority that God has established, whether we agree with the people or not. I was listening just this past week. I was reading actually an article, a preacher that I enjoy listening to. His name is Craig Groeschel. He was at a conference in Washington, D.C. about a dozen years ago. George Bush was still president at that time. And he was at a conference there, and the president and his wife were to show up at the conference to be a part of it. As he was sitting there and they were waiting for the president to come in, he said the guy sitting next to him all of a sudden started telling him of all the reasons why he didn't like George Bush. And how he disagreed with this policy and that policy and the way he did this and the way he did that and all of this kind of stuff. I mean, he just didn't agree with anything about George Bush. And he said that they were sitting there talking. All of a sudden the band strikes up, Hail to the Chief. And the president and his wife, they come out in front of the people there. Everybody stands and everybody's cheering. And Pastor Craig said, out of the corner of his eye, he could see the man next to him standing and applauding the president of the United States. He didn't agree with him, but he still honored him. Honor is a choice, brother and sister. It's a choice that we make, just like love. It's not about feelings. It's not about somebody else being worthy. It's about making the choice to do what God tells us to do. Honor is actually an attitude of heart that we're supposed to have toward everybody. We read there in 1 Peter 2, we read there where it said, honor all people. Honor all people. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. It's after Acts, preacher. Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read a lengthy passage, but I just want one verse. But the whole passage is too good not to read the whole thing, so bear with me as I read from Romans chapter 12, verse 9 to the end. Where the Apostle Paul writes in this letter, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Or literally it says, love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. And never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I read that whole passage just because I like it. But the whole passage, I believe, actually speaks to us about the love of God. It starts off in verse 9 again by saying, love without hypocrisy. And in my estimation, maybe I'm wrong, but in my estimation, the rest of this chapter describes what it means to love without hypocrisy. All of these things. And notice one of those things that love does in verse 10, give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another in honor. And I love the way my Bible footnotes this. I want you to listen to this. The English Standard Version says it this way too, I believe. But my Bible footnotes it this way. It says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. It's almost like compete with each other. See who can show more honor. See which one of you can show more honor to other people than everybody else. Show honor. Show respect. Show value and esteem. Exalt and promote others and not yourself. Make the choice to be a person who shows honor. There are so many examples that we can use in the Bible of people who showed honor. And go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we talk about Joseph a lot because his life is just so awesome. But Joseph had that dream, and he winds up, you know, in slavery in Egypt. As he is a slave in Potiphar's house. And if you remember the story, he was so faithful that serving Potiphar in Potiphar's house, Potiphar knew this man to be an honorable man, and he knew this man to be a good man. And Potiphar turns everything in his house over to Joseph, his slave. In fact, the scripture says that the only thing Potiphar concerned himself with was what he was going to feed his face. Everything else was Joseph's to rule. And Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph one day and tries to seduce him. And Joseph's response was, how can I do such a thing and dishonor my God. He's an honorable man. And he chose not to dishonor God or to dishonor Potiphar, his master. He was a man of honor. Boaz honors Ruth in that little book in your Bible, the book of Ruth in four chapters, where this woman of poverty comes into his field looking for something to eat. And he tells his own servants, he says, that lady that's picking up grain behind you, be sure to throw out extra handfuls of grain on the ground so she'll have plenty to eat. Boaz would honor her and ultimately take her as his wife. What about Joseph in the New Testament? He was a man of honor. He was an honorable man. The Bible says that even when he found out that first time that his wife, the woman he was wanting to spend the rest of his life with, before they'd ever been together, now she's pregnant. And the Bible says that he wanted to put her away secretly. In other words, he didn't want to make a spectacle of her. He didn't want to destroy her life. He's an honorable man, and he still treats her with honor. He's going to release her privately so that she doesn't have to suffer the consequences. And then when he finds out that the child she's carrying is actually the Son of God, he honors her further by taking her as his wife. Joseph chose, family, listen to this. And again, you got to understand the culture in the day. A woman in this situation, you stone her to death. And Joseph chose a lifestyle of mockery, persecution, being made fun of, made sport of. Your wife is pregnant before you ever came together. You're a fool for living with her. But he chose to honor Mary and to honor God by doing what God said to do. So many examples in the Bible. The Good Samaritan. A Samaritan honors a Jewish man, counts him worthy of his time and his treasure to take care of him after he had been beaten on that road to Jericho. So many examples in the Bible. When he honors that man on the road to Jericho, by the way, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:31, God says, he who is gracious to the needy honors me. And he honored God when he took care of that man on the road to Jericho. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Took the place of dishonor and honored them instead. In Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3, we find out that wives are supposed to honor their husbands. And husbands are supposed to honor their wives. How can we honor each other in the marriage relationship? Well, first of all, by living for each other, by listening to each other, by submitting to each other and serving each other in the marriage relationship. When we fail, and we will, forgiving each other and praying for each other. We can honor each other in the marriage relationship. We can honor each other by fighting for each other in the marriage relationship. Every person, brother and sister, every human being is a soul for whom Christ died. Think about that for just a minute. 7 billion of us on the planet right now. Some of them are rascals. We read about them in the news. And did you know that those people that we read about in the news that are doing all these horrible things all over the world, that Jesus loves every one of them and gave his life on the cross so that they could know eternal life if they would just turn their heart over to him and confess him as Lord and Savior? Jesus counts every one of us as worthy of his own life, and it's why he went to Calvary to die for us. And so we're to honor one another. We're to honor family. We're to honor government. We're to honor authority. We're to honor God with our lives? How do we honor God? First of all, we honor God by honoring each other. It's what God told us to do. So when we obey the Lord and honor each other, we are in essence honoring the God who commanded us to do so. We also honor God with our worship of the Lord. Look at Psalm 50. I've got two verses, two passages real quickly. We'll be done. Look at Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 14, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me, God says, in the day of trouble. I will rescue you and you will honor me. Look down at verse 23, last verse. God says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. King James says, glorifies me, exalts me. The same thing. It's honoring God when we offer a sacrifice to the Lord. When we offer worship to God, we are honoring God. And to him who orders his way aright, I will show the salvation of God. We honor God when we honor others. We honor God when we worship God. Look over at, got one more passage, Isaiah chapter 58. Last one, two verses. We are to honor one another. We're to honor our husband and wife. We're to honor those in authority over us. We are to honor God. No way around it, guys. We're supposed to be a people that live a lifestyle of honor toward everybody all the time. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Look at this one. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot, and that speaks of turning away from evil, because on the Sabbath, we come to worship God. If because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot, repentance, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Keeping the Sabbath is a way of honoring the Lord. Brother and sister, we have lost in our culture, we have lost in our society the concept of honor, whether it's honoring one another, whether it's honoring those in authority over us, even elected officials, or whether it's honoring God. I'm old enough to remember a time. Listen, I'm not done yet. Just because I read the last verse doesn't mean I'm quitting. I'm old enough to remember when there were what we called blue laws in the state. And what that meant was, you don't work on Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's day. It is set apart to worship God. And businesses did not open when I was a child on Sundays in honor of God. Now, what is Sunday? Just another part of a two-day weekend that we have to do whatever we want to do, to please ourselves in whatever way we want to. What did he just say in verse 58? Call the Sabbath a delight. Honor it. Desisting from your own ways and seeking your own pleasure. In the Ten Commandments, the scripture says, honor your father and mother. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not steal. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not murder. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery. In the Ten Commandments, it says, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I wish I could figure out when that one became a suggestion and not a commandment. We need to develop a culture of honor, where we honor those in authority, where we honor one another, where we honor God continually from our heart. Thank God that He has not forgotten us, but rather chose to honor us. For the scripture tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still lacking honor, God showed us honor by giving us His Son so that we could be forgiven of all of our sins, so that simply by surrendering our lives to Jesus, we could find salvation. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would help us today to see how far we have fallen from the people of honor that You've called us to be. Whether it's in our homes or with our families or toward our government or anyone in authority, school teachers, or whether God is even with You. Show us, God, and teach us how to live a life of honor. Show us, Father, how to be a people who are honorable. And help us to be those people who compete with each other to see who can show the most honor. Help us, Lord, to be driven, to be obedient to You, and to outdo one another in showing honor. We thank You for Your love for us today, Father, and Your faithfulness to us. You've been so good to us in this past week, and You've blessed us. You've allowed us to come here together today, Lord, to honor You and to honor moms. And again, we thank You for this special day, for that purpose. But God, I pray that honor would be more than a one-day event to us, but that it would indeed be a lifestyle for all of us as Your children to honor, to look for opportunities, to look for places, to look for people whom we can honor, prize, value, and esteem. Encourage and promote and lift up. Help us, God. Change us, O God, to be a people of honor. Let's stand together and stay in an attitude of prayer for just a moment, please. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Father. Father, I pray Your special blessing on these precious people that are in this room right now. I pray most foremost, I pray for the blessing of Your presence on every person, that they would sense Your presence with them now and throughout this day, the peace, the comfort, the relief, that just the weight of Your presence on our lives brings to our hearts and soul, the release, the victory. Thank You for it, Father. I pray that by the weight and power of your presence on our lives, that you would bring the blessing of wisdom, the blessing of joy, the blessing of hope, the blessing of a clear mind, the blessing of a pure heart, the blessing of strength, prosperity of spirit, soul, and body. Bless us in all of these ways, Father, so that we might be a blessing in your holy name to this world that needs to hear you and needs to see you. Make us a blessing as you make us a people of honor. Thank you again for these that have taken their time to be with us today, Father. I pray you would watch over each of us now as we go our separate ways. May your will be done in our lives for the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing together as we are dismissed today. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. Make it so. God bless you. Thank you for being with us today, and have a great day in the Lord.